You know, they need to buckle up when they get in the car and don't talk to strangers and things like that. But, you know, really, when you get down and face it, it's not kidnapping that's really the severe threat to your family or talking to strangers. And car accidents happen, but for most of us, they don't happen every day. But what does happen every day? Your kids are faced with this culture that the media is imposing upon them. And that's something everybody's going to have to face whether you like it or not. And so I think that this is the greatest threat that we face as parents. And I'm not alone. A survey recently said 90% of parents believe that the greatest threat that they face is the degradation of the culture. And that primarily comes through the media, through TVs, movies, and things like that. So this is a really big deal. We could probably spend a whole month on this topic. I'm just going to try to talk really fast and give it all to you real quick. But we're just going to spend one Sunday on this, not a week of Sundays. First blank for you here. The average child watches how many hours of TV before they're age 18? Anybody have any guesses? Almost. Not quite. A little bit less than a million. The average child watches 15,000 hours of TV before age 18. That's 15,000 hours of not doing creative, constructive things. 15,000 hours of not playing outside. 15,000 hours of not getting to know their parents or their friends or being creative and building things or reading or improving themselves. It's 15,000 hours of wasted time watching TV before they're 18. And here's some other interesting things. I thought they were pretty interesting. The average American home has the TV on 49 hours a week. How many days are in a week? 7. 49 divided by 7 is 7. That means the average family has the TV on 7 hours a day. To me, that's ridiculous. I can't hardly even imagine that, but I know that it's happening. 7 hours a day on average. That's what the average American family has TV on for. But the average American parent spends 36 minutes per week in meaningful conversation with their child. Who's going to win this fight? If you're letting the TV stay on in your house 7 hours a day, 49 hours a week, but you're only talking with your kids 36 minutes a week, I got news for you. You are not going to impose your culture on your kids, but the media is going to impose theirs on your kids. And you need to do something about it right now. You know, bringing your kids to church, that's a great idea. But let's look at it. You bring them to Sunday school, that's 1 hour. Main service, 2 hours. You're even really good, you bring them on Wednesday night. They've been in church a whole 3 hours a week compared to 49 hours of TV. You just can't compete with that. You know, you've got to turn the TV off. You've got to spend more time with your kids. We've been charged by God Almighty to teach our children a biblical worldview. How are we going to do that when we're letting junk come into our kids' mind through the TV all week long? It's not going to work. Now, I thought about this week how to make this lesson really fun and funny. It's hard to do because these numbers just, they're not very funny, are they? This is a pretty serious matter. It's a serious threat to our kids. And I normally like to throw in some fun stuff, but, you know, this is going to be kind of a somber lesson today. But we've been charged by God to teach our kids the way that they should go. And we've got to control what's going in to their minds. What are they seeing on TV? What are they listening to? Where are they going on the internet? Things like that. We're going to talk about all those things today. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts." And verse 7 is the critical one here. "Impress them on your children. Talk to them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up." That means more than 36 minutes a day, doesn't it? It means all day long. We need to be impressing upon our children the ways of God, talking to them about everything, You go, you're driving down the road, you're going to see some billboards that you'd probably rather not have your seven-year-old see. That's just the way Houston is, and we can't really do too much about that. But that's a time to explain to your kid what's going on there and how do we feel about it. And if you need to think about these things before you drive down the road and start that conversation, so you don't say things that, you know, paint yourself into a corner and say things that lead to more questions that go, well, what about this or that? You know, you need to have it planned out. Have what you're going to say down. But there's all kinds of things that can stir a child's heart to ask questions and can help you, give you opportunities to talk about how does God see these things? What does the Bible say about these things? And so there's plenty of openings for you to talk to your kids about the ways of God. Today we're going to focus mainly on TV and movies, and we'll talk a little bit about video games and the internet, and then Daryl's got a few things he wants to say at the end too. But before we get into all that, let's open up in prayer. Father God, I pray that you would help us today to really examine our hearts, examine our habits, what we as parents are watching on TV and what we are doing, Lord. I pray that we'll take a really hard look at what we're doing so that we can change our habits and make sure that we are leading our kids by example. We're setting an excellent example for them, Lord, so that although we might say what they're supposed to do, they will see it lived out in our hearts and in our lives, and that's what will make the difference, God. We know that we can say whatever, but it's what we do that's really going to count. Lord, I pray that you would help me as I present this, help Daryl when he presents his part, Lord, and just really examine our hearts. Help us to take a careful look at this and to really think about the ways that we are living and if those are a good example for our kids. In Jesus' name, amen. TV and movies. Most of these TV shows that you see today, they don't really reflect biblical values or biblical worldview. What do I mean by a worldview? I mean, that this is a term that I didn't really understand growing up. I don't think I ever really heard it. It's becoming a little bit more popular now. But worldview, I just mean, how do you see the world? How do you view the world? What goes into how you make decisions in life about critical issues? Okay, when I see things on television, they're going to be maybe supporting some sort of moral, some sort of philosophy, some sort of idea that's not in line with the Bible's. There's a difference of worldviews there. There's a clash of worldviews. And if you look at most of what's on TV, I'd say it does not line up with the Bible's worldview, does it? They're not promoting biblical values. What kind of shows would this be? Here's where I get to start stepping on toes. And if I don't step on yours right now, I probably will by the end of the lesson. But it's okay, don't worry, because I'll step on mine too, all right? So we're all in this together. But it's amazing to me how many shows Christians in the church watch and think that there's not a problem with it. And I'm not here to give you a great big list of shows that you can watch or you can't watch, okay? That's going to have to be up to you. But when you get ready to watch a show, just consider, is this something that God would want me to watch? Is there some redeeming quality about this and doesn't line up with what the Bible has to say about life? How about Will and Grace? I've seen a lot of people just like, they're like statues. I don't want to nod. I don't want to move. I don't want to blink. Don't make eye contact with the leader. Will and Grace, it's a show about homosexuality. Well, it makes fun of homosexuals. Does it? Well, it makes sort of, but it also kind of makes it more, I don't know, it kind of affirms it in a way. It makes it more common. It kind of says in a way it's okay. There's nothing really wrong with it. He's a funny guy, but the whole lifestyle, there's really nothing wrong with that, right? Will and Grace, how about Friends? Casual sex? Nothing wrong with that, is there? Desperate Housewives? That's a pretty popular show. What's going on in there? I watched about 5 minutes of that show once, and my eyes about popped out of my head. Some guy jumping out of a window with no clothes on because the husband came home. I would say that does not promote biblical worldview. 2 and a Half Men, anybody watch that show? Keep your hands down. How about this one? This one amazes me. Christians and even Christian leaders in the church that watch Sex and the City. You really need to go beyond the title on that one? South Park. It's animated, right? It's a cartoon. You know, I don't know that there's a lot of sexual-related content in that show, but there's a lot of profanity. It's a very vulgar show. So there's a lot of shows there. We could really probably spend about the next 4 hours talking about all the shows on TV that are not appropriate, but... All right, so Daryl says that he's wanting to know, is it okay for us to just DVR it so we can watch it after our kids go to bed? No. That's not appropriate, because that's just not. We've got to lead by example, and also from a practical standpoint, your kids know how to run your DVR. So they can probably get a hold of that show when you're not looking. Here's another one that came to my attention this morning. I haven't ever seen any part of this show, but from what I understand, it's got some issues. Friday Night Lights. It's all about kids getting together with each other after the football game. So be careful with that one, too. Oh, and here's another one. We just had Halloween, right? What about horror shows? Are those appropriate? I'll let you decide. But the idea here is, when you're getting ready to watch a show, does it line up with what the Bible says we ought to be doing? And we'll get some verses here in a little bit to talk more about that. One of the problems I have with TV shows, especially sitcoms these days, I don't watch many sitcoms because, for a number of reasons. One is, they rarely show men as anything besides bumbling idiots. When was the last time you saw a show that portrayed a man as being intelligent, competent, and a leader of his family? Andy Griffith. The Cosby Show wasn't too bad. The Cosby Show is pretty good. But when you have to go back 20, 30, 40 years, Father knows. The last decent one that I know of was Seventh Heaven. Okay, and that one wasn't too bad. But look at all the popular sitcoms and dramas that are on today, and how do they depict fathers? They're idiots. And that's the way our culture views fathers today, and men in particular. They're a bunch of bumbling buffoons that can't make a decision and can't find their way out of a paper bag. You know, they just don't know what's going on. And, you know, that's not really the message that we should be teaching our kids, that their fathers are complete morons. They also, many shows promote disrespectful behavior of children towards adults. Let's look at the Disney Channel. Have I stepped on anybody's toes yet? Sweet Life of Zack and Cody. Have you watched that? Do you want your kids talking to you the way that those kids talk to their mom and other adults in the show? But if they are watching that show 4 hours a week, what kind of behavior do you think your kid is going to learn? He's going to learn to be disrespectful. How about shows that promote casual sex without showing the real and tragic consequences of those actions? You see that on shows all the time. Hey, we've been dating for what? This is like our third, fourth date? Let's jump into bed. That's the way they typically show it on TV. There's nothing about waiting until you're married for that kind of behavior. And this is what really kills me. I'll be watching a football game with Drake, and I think, it's football, you know, it can't be that bad, right? Well, not until the commercials come on. And my 9-year-old's learning all about Viagra and Cialis or whatever it's called. And I'm, mute, change the channel. And you can't do it fast enough. And they use all kinds of words on there that I'm not really prepared and ready for him to know about. You can't even trust the commercials anymore. We've got to be careful about watching television. So even the commercials can be offensive. And they come on during the middle of the day. They're not even, you know, I'd least like it if they waited till after 10 o'clock or something to show those kinds of commercials. But all right, no A&M Longhorn fight this morning. Yeah. They played good until, what, the last minute and a half? The last second. Okay, here we go. Next blank for you to fill out. The most popular TV channel for teenage girls is what? I think I heard it. MTV, that's right, MTV. If you haven't watched MTV lately, turn it on. Watch it. See what your kids are watching. You'll be amazed. Have you seen Shot of Love with Tia Tequila? Has anybody heard of that show? Where you have this girl and it's a dating show. But here's the deal. She's dating guys and girls. And they're lining up. Guys and girls are competing for a date with Tia. This is what's on MTV. This is what your kids are watching. That's the most popular show for teens and the most popular show for teenage girls. Is that what you want your girls watching? Or your boys, for that matter? MTV, when they started, the founders of MTV said that they didn't want to start just a music channel. Of course, they don't show videos on MTV anymore. You got to go MTV 2 or MTV 3 to get those. They didn't want to just start a music channel. They wanted to start a youth culture, a youth worldview. They wanted to impose their worldview on youth. I think they've succeeded. They've done a great job at what they set out to do. Over 60% of MTV content is highly sexualized, often linking violence with sexuality. This is not a channel you want your kids watching, but that's the channel your kids are watching, the most popular channel for teens. And surprisingly, this is what kills me, more Christian teenagers watch MTV than non-Christian teenagers. We're not doing a good job in the church. Why is it, you know, that our kids are flocking to MTV more than kids who don't go to church? There's something going on there. We need to have a talk with our kids. We need to take some action to make sure that we reverse that. The second and third most popular channels for teens are, anybody want to take a guess? Not VH1. I'm not hearing anything now. Not E. Comedy Central. Anybody watch Comedy Central? It's not very funny. And watch out for the commercials they show on there late at night on Comedy Central. Be careful. And the third one is Adult Swim. Anybody heard of Adult Swim before? It's on Cartoon Network. It starts, what, 8, 9, 10 o'clock at night? I don't know exactly when. I'm not really sure how to describe Adult Swim, other than it is completely inappropriate. There you go, Cheryl. It's porno in cartoon form. It doesn't show everything, but they certainly talk about it. And that's Adult Swim. That's the third most popular channel for teenagers. This is what the kids are watching. You've got to become students of your kids, especially if they're teenagers and they're watching TV. Know what their viewing habits are. See what they're watching. Sit down and watch it with them. You might be surprised. The more violent shows a child watches by age 8, the more likely he is to be convicted of a crime by age 30. What are your young boys watching? There's just some tendency. There's some, I don't know, something built into little boys that they love to watch fighting. Okay? They love to watch shows like Power Rangers, Pokemon, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I could go down the list and list you a whole bunch more. Okay? Take a look at little boys that are like 6, 7, 8 years old after they watch a show like the Power Rangers. What do they do? Let's go fight. It's time for some fighting. You know, that's just built into boys for some reason. But this study is saying that if they watch those shows on a regular basis, when they're 8, they're much more likely to be convicted of a crime by the time they're 30. Okay, we need to knock it off on these violent shows for little boys. I don't think little girls are into that kind of stuff. I could be wrong. I don't have any girls. But I'm seeing no's. Not really into that so much. But for the boys, it's very attractive to them. They just really like to watch those kinds of shows. But you've got to be careful. Watch your boys after they see a show like that. And they are going to be punching people and trying all kinds of kicks and kung fu stuff on each other. And they just don't see the consequences of punching somebody in the nose. They don't see how it's a big deal because those other people just popped up, you know, off the ground. They were fine. Studies also show that extensive TV viewing can lead to a bunch of things that aren't really very desirable. Low self-confidence, especially in social situations. Okay, think about the number we talked about at the beginning. 15,000 hours of watching TV, that's 15,000 hours of not learning how to interact with other people. The It can also, extensive TV viewing can also lead to violent behavior. We just talked about that. Poor academic performance, inappropriate sexual behavior, obesity, and substance abuse. Probably a whole lot of other things that you don't really want for your kids either. You know, so you need to squash how much TV watching is done in your house. Watching TV promotes selfishness and a short attention span. Kids today just cannot sit and think and pay attention to somebody who's talking. I know because I taught children's church for a couple years. And when I was a kid, you know, we watched TV, and I think our attention span was shorter than our parents' was. But now attention span for elementary age kids is 3, 4, 5 minutes. Well, how can your kids sit and listen to a teacher in school talk about something at length and really understand and stay with the teacher when he's used to watching TV that just every minute something new, something spectacular and exciting is happening? Okay, it's setting him up, his brain, it's wiring his brain to expect something fantastic and exciting every couple of minutes. And your teacher is not that. His teacher is not fantastic and exciting every couple of minutes. You know, multiplication tables just aren't that exciting. But it's something that your kid needs to learn. And so watching all of this TV really causes your kid to be able to not focus. I think this is one of the reasons why we have so many kids on medication for ADD and ADHD and whatever they're called, where they can't focus. We've got kids on medication because I think mainly when they were kids, when they were littler, they watched way too much TV. Now, that's probably not true for every single kid, and I'm not a doctor and all that, but it seems to me that there's a correlation there. So what can we do about it? Well, we need to go back to Deuteronomy chapter 6, where it says, impress upon our children the ways of God all day long, everywhere we go with our kids. We need to help them develop a biblical culture. That's our job as parents. That's what we're charged by God to do. So how do we do that? Well, first of all, let me ask you this, parents. What are you watching? Are you watching shows that are appropriate for you? Shows that are appropriate for your kids? And how much are you watching? Are you like the national average and you've got the TV on in your house 7 hours a day? This is something that I guess is very commonplace, but it was strange for me. We didn't do this in my family. People like to come in to the house, and as soon as they open the door, what do? Head for the TV. Turn it on, and then go do something else. They're not even watching TV, but it's on. It's that noise is going on. Well, I need that white noise to help. I don't know what the purpose of that is, but it's something. They want to turn it on. Well, you know what? I think we, in our lives, many times, what we need is some silence. We're overstimulated. We need to leave the TV off so we can think. You can't think with all those distractions going on. Can you meditate upon the ways of God when you've got the TV blaring? Probably not so much. Okay? How about we leave the TV off? In my house growing up, I guess I was the exception. We didn't turn the TV on unless you were sitting in front of the TV intently watching the show. And then as soon as the show was over, you turn the TV off and you go do whatever you were going to do. But evidently today, that's not the case. The average American watches TV 4.5 hours a day. But we said earlier that the TV's on 7 hours a day. So you've got 2.5 hours where the TV's on, but nobody's watching it. How about this also? So, number one, watch what you are watching and how much are you watching. Pay attention to that. Number two, watch TV and movies with your children. Sit down, watch their shows. Watch the movies that they're watching. Make sure you know what's going on there. How about movies? You can pre-screen your movies, and at the back of your handout, we've given you a couple websites you can go check out. They will watch the movies for you. They will list things like what kind of content is in there, how many bad words, what are the bad words, how many times those bad words show up in that movie. Because we've become desensitized to bad words. And people will often say, oh, I watched that movie. Yeah, there's a couple bad words. Well, a couple bad words, you know, I might think there's, you know, 2 or 3 minor swear words, okay? No, there were 10 F-bombs dropped, okay? I don't want my kid watching that. And you know what? It's probably not appropriate for me either. Okay, so these websites that I've listed at the bottom, they'll tell you what's in that movie so you can know before you take your family. Now, here's some uh, here's some things you can do for TV. Limit the amount of TV your child watches each day. I think that message is getting through loud and clear here. How do you do that? First, never allow the TV to be on during meals. But how many times do we do that? We got TVs in every room. You can't turn around without seeing a TV in most people's houses. In fact, there are more TVs in houses in a home on average than there are people. Isn't that surprising? If you've got three people in your house, chances are you've got four TVs. We've got TVs in the TV room, everybody's bedroom, the kitchen, the garage. There's even some people that have TVs in the bathroom. You know, they're everywhere. Okay, we've got to get away from the TVs. Rob's got a new Sunday afternoon project. But we need to turn the TV off, especially during mealtime. Mealtime is the last refuge for a family. This is our time to build relationships with the members of our family. Get to know your kids. You have a captive audience. They have to eat every day, at least once. Sit down with them. Talk to them. See what's going on in your kids' lives. And then once you've done that, and you've got a whole bunch of, I don't know, and nothing, you know, what'd you do today? Nothing. How's it going? I don't know. Yeah. Well, you know, once you get through that, start talking to them about ideas. Okay, you can try not to talk about people in a negative way. You know, you can talk about people in a positive way, but then also talk about thoughts and ideas and concepts. And try to spark a little bit of thought going on inside that little kid's mind. Get them to start thinking. But you can't do that if everybody's glued to the TV 7 hours a day. How long do you work at how many hours a week do you spend at work on average? Okay, most people are 40, some people are 50, okay? Say you're 40 hours, you work 40 hours a week, but your TV's on 49 hours a week, and we complain that we don't have enough time to get things done. You're spending more time in front of the TV than you are at work. How about turn the TV off, and all of a sudden I bet you'll find you've got lots of time to get things done. But we've got to turn the TV off during mealtime, because watching TV prevents us from building relationships. When you're sitting next to somebody watching TV, you're not getting to know that person. You need to talk to them. That's how you get to know people. So how much is enough? Well, I think that I got this from Focus on the Family. 1 hour per day, 1 hour per weekday, and a total of 10 hours per week is plenty. Okay, now, if you want to go real strict, Family Life Today says no TV during the weekdays at all for your kids, and an hour on Saturday and an hour on Sunday. They're pretty strict. Okay, but, and for most of us, I think that would just kill us, because we're used to the 49 hours a week, right? And if you go down to 10 hours a week, that's a pretty big change right there. If you went down to 5 hours a week or less, that'd probably just kill most people. Yeah. But the idea here is take a look at how much you're watching TV. Maybe this week start a log and write down the times that you're watching television and just see how much do you watch in your house. All right, I'm going to have to move here because I'm not going to give Daryl any time if I don't. Don't use the TV as a long-term babysitter. The American Association of Pediatrics recommends no TV for children under 2 years of age. I didn't know that. Okay. It starts really early. The child's mind is still being formed physically. The brain is still developing. And as the child watches a lot of television, it develops in a way that's really not very good. Here's one for older kids. Chores and homework must always be finished first before you can watch TV. It got wired incorrectly when they were little kids, babies, because they watched way too much TV, and now they have to go through a lot of therapy to try to get it set back to the right way. How about this? Here's an idea for you. Play with your kids. Kids love playing with their parents. play sports, board games. Friday night's going to be game night at our house. We're all going to get together as family. We're going to build relationships by playing games together. Puzzles for little kids. Read to your kids. I heard on Family Life Today that they had a guest, some expert on, I can't remember their name, but they said that reading to your kids is a great way to help your kids' academic performance and build a relationship with their parents. Okay, well, when do you stop doing that? Okay, because I think that most of us would agree when kids are little, that's a good idea. They're saying that there are benefits to doing this even when the kid is 18 years old. You should continue to do that until the kid is 18. Read, now, obviously, you're not going to read the little kiddie books, but, you know, but get age-appropriate books. You know, get some, and, you know, books are a problem today. There's so many books out there, romance novels, that are not biblically, they do not promote a biblical worldview. And guys have their own problems, but women, I'm telling you, romance novels are setting you up with some unrealistic expectations of men in your life. All right? I won't get into any more of that. But do stuff with your kids. And here's an idea. Try fasting from TV for a week. Oh, you know, we're the church, we're the denomination all about fasting and prayer, right? Okay, how about give up TV for a week? You know, is that harder than giving up food for a day? I bet for most of us it is. You know, we'll be going crazy, you know, by the end of the week. Block channels on your TV. Block channels. There's some channels like MTV that are just never appropriate at any time for any reason. Block it. Put a pin on it, you know, a little code. Don't choose your birthday or something stupid that your kids are going to guess, okay? Block the channels. Block the times. I've blocked 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays on our TV. The kids cannot watch TV in our house before school starts, okay? It's setting them up for a bad day, all right? Don't let your kids watch TV before school. Block programs based on ratings. You know, they've got the ratings, anything PG-14 and above or PG or whatever you choose to set, kids can't watch it. So you can do lots of stuff like that. Don't let your children have a TV in their room. 68% of teenagers have a television in their bedroom. Let me ask you this. Would you let a strange man into your child's bedroom at night after you go to bed? That's what you're doing when you let your kid have a TV in their bedroom. You don't know what's going on in there. You don't know what they're watching. Same thing goes for a computer. Should not be in the kid's room. Computers need to be in a public place. You need to train your child to have good habits regarding media. Psalms 101, verse 1 says, I'll sing of your love and justice to you. To you, O Lord, I will sing praise. I'll be careful to lead a blameless life. When will you come to me? I will walk in my house with blameless heart. And here's the thing that I think applies to TV and movies today. I will set before my eyes no vile thing. The deeds of faithless men I hate. They will not cling to me. Men of perverse heart shall be far from me. I will have nothing to do with evil. Is that the way we live when it comes to our media choices? It better be, but it's probably not. Video games. They've got ratings. Be mindful of them, but don't trust the ratings. Be careful. First-person shooter games. Children between ages 8 and 10 are 80% more likely to fight after playing these kinds of games. How about this? Just don't allow first-person shooter games in your house. I think that might be a good idea. Multiplayer games, massive multiplayer games, MPGs, MMPGs. You need to be careful with your kids on those. They can waste a lot of time on that and get to know people that you don't want them to know. The internet. 90% of kids going online for homework will stumble upon hardcore pornography before they're 18. Is that what you want your kids stumbling across? You need to take some action. Get some filters. I've got a few listed at the back. You need to set up accounts for your kids on the computer. They should not have administrative privileges. My kids have an account. They've got a password. I know the password. I control their password. They don't. I have an account. When they get on the internet, I've given them about 4 or 5 websites that they can go to. They can't go to anything other than that without me putting in my password. Okay? They can't even go to CNN. They've got a few kids' kind of websites they can go to, and that's it. Social networks and chat rooms. Danger! Danger! Keep your kids away from those. Put your computer in a public place in your house, and parents must have the passwords for all accounts and regularly check your kids' activities. Put the filter on your computer and tell your kids, I've got a filter on the computer. I've got something that's going to check where everybody in this family goes on the internet, and I'm going to look at it every week. I'm not doing this to be mean to you. I'm just letting you know. I'm watching where you're going. You know, you need to tell them that. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, pure, lovely, and admirable, if there is anything excellent and praiseworthy, think about these things. That needs to be our motto for everything we do with regard to TV, movies, and internet. Daryl, I didn't give you as much time as I wanted to, but he's got some important stuff.
What time is it? Because my watch is off. One of the things I want to touch with, because Steve is focusing a lot of his information based on kids that are young and coming up. I happen to be in that very scary frame of reference now where I'm like, okay, my kids are technologically as savvy or more so than I am. They're older, and they have access to a lot more media. And I'm not going to pull out a Bible, but I am going to get it on a soapbox real quick. Your children have absolutely zero right to privacy. You have to understand that. I have sat with parents who have let their children get cell phones, email accounts, computers in the room, and televisions in the room, and MP3 players in the room, and they have no idea what's happening on any one of those things. You stop parenting when you give them rights. And I'm sorry if that goes against your grain. But I've had the conversation with my children that I simply tell them, no, I don't trust you. And that's something we might snicker about, but you know what? I have great kids. We have been blessed with fantastic kids who are human. They have enough Bible packed in here, I hope, to help them shape decisions down the road. But they don't have enough time to be wise. And see, wisdom is the application of knowledge. And I want to encourage those of you who have teenagers or kids who are heading into that time frame, do not make the mistake of giving them enough freedom to cause them harm. Your job as a parent is not done until you die. Just because they get old enough to have a cell phone in your mind does not mean that they have the right to have all the text messaging capability that you don't get to read. It frustrates my kids to death. They hate it. I'll pick up their phone at random, and I read the text messages. I've read text messages from kids in this church that probably the parents wouldn't be real proud of the fact that I read them. Hopefully you haven't seen one from my kids that you weren't real proud that they sent through. But I promise you, my kids know that that's a danger that they can have at any time. You also need to hold over them the fact that you can take away those privileges at any time. It is not their cell phone. It is not their computer. I agree wholeheartedly with Steve. There should not be a TV or a computer in a child's room because, again, you've just given them access to things they're not wise enough to make good decisions on. Love your kids enough to not be popular. There's nothing more important than their purity of mind. Because if you're worried about their purity of body, keep their mind pure. The body will take care of itself. We're going to use this kind of to springboard into next week. Next week, Steve has bravely said, you know what, Daryl? You can teach on sex education. Cool. Yeah. Love that topic. Okay. So what we're going to be start talking about next week is the real nuts and bolts of how and when to start having the talks, plural, about sex, about their view of their body, their view of other people's body, what's appropriate, what's not appropriate, all those really uncomfortable, icky conversations that none of us want to ever have ever, 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 ever. Yeah, we're going to talk about it, and I'm probably the most uncomfortable of anybody in the room. Just out of curiosity, before we close, I just want to get a real quick survey. How many of you had the talk with your parents and it was a positive experience? Raise your hand. I honestly don't know how my parents expected to get grandchildren. Because we couldn't talk about sex ever, okay? I remember the one time I asked a question, it almost caused a car wreck. So I vowed that my children would not grow up in that same household. However, I have found that when they ask those questions out of the blue, you're like, oh, rapture, rapture, now, rapture, eastern sky, crack, you know. But we're going to talk about these things next week. We're going to have some fun with it, but it's no less critical than this right here. Again, love your kids enough to lead. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the fact that following you really is not that complex. We're simple people, and you gave us a simple path. Thank you for a word that if we will open it up and just look, James tells us that we will find wisdom if we'll ask. Make us man and woman enough, Father God, to read what you say and accept what it says, and brave enough to live by it. And help us to have children that show that we made that sacrifice and that investment in their lives. In your heavenly name, amen.